all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
And welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, June 8th, National Best Friends Day. So find your bestie or tag him on social media. I plan to do that with my friend, Kevin Voigt, friend for 40 years. And I'm going to put up pictures from 40 years ago, and he's going to be embarrassed. But he won't know because he's not on Facebook. He wants to be a social media Luddite, which is great because you can then tag anybody and they can't object to it. So happy Besties Day, Kevin. Coming up this hour, we're going to do Hometown Health. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Green Bay Police Officer Craig Carlson are going to talk about responsible gun ownership. And that shouldn't be unique. Every bit of gun ownership should be responsible, but it's not, for a host of reasons, sadly many of them political. And that's why we're going to start this hour with State Assembly Representative Deb Andraca from Whitefish Bay to talk more about the missed opportunities for responsible gun ownership and gun safety and what the legislature could and should be doing. Representative Andraca, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
It's so nice to have you here. I wish it was for, you know, a more optimistic topic, but unfortunately, it's much more in the public safety realm. We're heading into summer, and you and your colleagues are trying to, again, make the case that before this legislative session ends, there are things that could be done to make this, I believe you describe it as a gun-safe summer.
Yes, we know that in the summer months is when gun violence typically spikes. And right now we're at a situation where gun deaths are at an all-time high, and there are more guns in more places than ever before. And we will be introducing legislation that has recently been removed from Governor Evers' budget that we think can help stem the tide of gun deaths, gun violence, both homicides and suicides.
Well, to get anything through the legislature, of course, is a tall order these days. And unfortunately, the things that do go through aren't nearly as effective. And I know you've talked about this repeatedly, but on this particular program, I want to tip my cap that you tried to bring awareness to this situation when one of those oftentimes ceremonial resolutions was brought up, and this one was to talk about law enforcement. But you stood up, and despite taking a lot of heat for it, you rightfully made the case that it's one thing to honor law enforcement. It would be another thing entirely if the legislature did more to protect the men and women who wear the uniform.
Sure, Pat, just to set the stage a little bit. So I had introduced a resolution on Gun Violence Awareness Day, which was last Friday, June 2nd. And it talked about the statistics and how many people in Wisconsin are dying because of gun homicides, accidents, and suicides. That resolution was not taken up. It was not put on the calendar for, I don't know how many years in a row, at least every year since I have been in the legislature. There was a different resolution that was talking about law enforcement appreciation. I'm a co-sponsor of that resolution, and I wholly support everything in it. However, they left out an important fact in that when they were talking about this being one of the deadliest years for law enforcement so far, four officers have died in the line of duty, but all of them were shot. That was left out of the resolution. And I thought it was something important because we're seeing more and more law enforcement and first responders walking into very dangerous situations where people are armed and dangerous. So I brought up the fact that I support the resolution. However, the legislature is the only body that can make laws that can help protect all of us, law enforcement, first responders, students, teachers, everybody who's being plagued by gun violence. So I spoke up and said that, and Speaker Voss was very displeased. He came down off the dais and yelled at me for about 2 minutes on the assembly floor, accusing me of politicizing this resolution. And what we are saying, those of us who support common sense gun laws, is that we just want to have a conversation. The Republican leadership has never even allowed these bills to have a public hearing. And we know at least 80% of Wisconsinites support these laws. So if you're not going to bring up our resolution, if you're not going to give these bills a public hearing, I don't know when we can talk about keeping Wisconsinites safe.
Oh, no, you do it at a time where they can say, oh, no, you're politicizing it, when these folks are the masters of playing games. They have been playing games with Black History Month resolutions year after year after year. And again, they could have maybe mollified this a bit by simply taking up a Gun Violence Awareness Day resolution. But of course, they didn't want to, because it would then, you know, force the conversation on the ways that they are making law enforcement less safe, the ways that they are the ones actually defunding the police through their budget austerity, the way that they are blocking something like red flag laws that would have helped in at least one or two of these law enforcement cases and would have helped in a recent event in your district in Mequon.
Yeah, a postscript to that exact episode, as I was speaking on the floor and as Speaker Voss was accusing me of politicizing this, and I should say again, I'm a co-sponsor of that law enforcement appreciation resolution, and I am a gun owner. As that was happening, I'm getting text alerts on my phone, and police officers were getting shot at in Mequon, just a click outside of my district. I represent the southern part of Mequon. The irony is that that house had been visited 26 times before, because neighbors had reported that the person inside was suffering from dementia. They were trying to get him help. They weren't able to do so because we don't have the kind of laws that would allow us to take guns away from people who have evidence that they are dangerous.
No, we don't. And it's sorely needed. And we've seen at the state and the national levels the ridiculous things being said to block red flag laws. We are going to talk more about that with State Representative Deb Mandraka of Whitefish Bay, Mequon, those suburbs of Milwaukee. Coming up in just a bit, we're going to take a break. We're going to get an update on the forecast from Weatherology, and then we'll continue this conversation next. You're up north. This, again, would be Mick Hucknall, lead singer of Simply Red, who is 63 years old today. Now it's time to get an update on the Weatherology forecast, and we're going to continue our conversation with State Representative Deb Mandraka. But first, we've got to go to Michael Cairo from Weatherology, who's going to be joining us now to give us a look at the forecast for the entire state right after I tell you. I just have to scroll a little bit here that we have 56 degrees right now up here on Lake Wissota, 48 in Wisconsin Dells, 47 in Marinette, 56 in La Crosse. And now we're going to see what the rest of the week holds heading into the weekend and more with Michael Cairo from Weatherology. Michael, good morning.
Good morning to you, and still expecting that stretch of quiet weather to continue through the remainder of your work week. We will be dodging some scattered showers and storms, though, into your upcoming weekend as our next cold frontal boundary looks to work in from the northwest into the day on Saturday, and still could have some lingering showers mainly for southeastern portions of Wisconsin into the day on Sunday. But until then, a very nice forecast here, ample amounts of sunshine across all the state here for today, and staying very comfortable temperature and humidity-wise for the most part, looking at middle 70s for highs for most of the state. Could see some upper 70s in areas right along the Mississippi River by this afternoon, and some lower range of the 70s for highs right along the Lake Michigan shoreline. But yeah, very nice day shaping up here for today with the light winds as well. Clear and calm conditions then overnight tonight. Those overnight low temperatures, again, on the chillier side across far northern portions of the state. Areas north of Wausau, like Rhinelander, could dip into the upper range of the 30s for tonight. Wausau proper sticking closer to the middle range of the 40s. Then areas like Eau Claire down to near Madison in the upper range of the 40s for those overnight low temperatures for tonight. Another very nice day shaping up on Friday with lots of sunshine. High temperatures just a couple of degrees warmer for tomorrow, but humidity still on the lower side. Looking at lower range of the 80s for Eau Claire as well as Baldwin and Amory down to near Richland Center. Likewise, low 80s, including Oshkosh as well. Sticking closer to the 70s along the Lake Michigan shoreline. And then by the time we get to your Saturday, as that cold frontal boundary works in from the northwest, I think the bulk of the scattered showers and storms early in the day will be especially from Wausau and points off to the north, but most of the state getting in on the shower and storm action by the afternoon time frame. Definitely could use some rain across the region, as we have been quite dry over the past month or so. Saturday's high temperatures in the lower range of the 80s for the southern half of the state, and some upper 70s across the north. And again, some lingering showers mainly for the southeastern half of the state, mainly from about La Crosse up through Green Bay and Point southward on Sunday. Most of northwestern Wisconsin looking to dry out there by the time we get to Sunday.
Hey, Michael, quick question for you. We've been seeing the video and the incredible photos out of New York City, the haze from the wildfire smoke. It's so much clearer here, but I would imagine that's the system we have right now. We are not immune from having another hazy round as those fires continue to burn in Canada, right?
Yeah, we're not immune from it. The worst of that smoke is now currently originating from eastern portions of Canada. So thankfully, when we get a northerly breeze this go around, it's drawing in some a little bit cleaner air closer to our neck of the woods here. But yeah, still the worst of that air quality now through the weekend, still expected for those major hubs of the Northeast.
Oh my God, it looks so bad out there. Michael, thank you so much. Yeah. Have a great day.
You too.
That's Michael Cairo, meteorologist with Weatherology. In sports, Jody Weimer had a pair of two-run homers. He went 4-for-4, a double, 5 RBIs, sparking the Brewers to a 10-2 blowout of the Baltimore Orioles on Wednesday night. Willie Adames back in the lineup, hit a home run in the first inning. Corbin Burns gets his first win since May 12th, allowing over only two hits and no walks over a full 8 innings. They will wrap up the series with the Orioles this afternoon. Colin Ray will be on the mound, and our listener Roger reminds us that the Orioles have not been swept in a series yet this season. So, I mean, hey, first time for everything, right? Let's continue our conversation now with State Representative Deb Androcka from Whitefish Bay. We have been talking about gun safety. We'll talk about it again later in our hometown health segment. But from a law enforcement, a lawmaking perspective, I guess I should say, we're dealing with not just summer coming on board, but frankly, spring is, I almost dread to say this, but it's become a season of school shootings as well as we get to the end of this. And that I never, no matter how bad things were getting, Representative Androcka, never thought we'd be living in an era where guns surpassed car crashes as the number one killer of children. And yet here we are. And yet it still appears there's a lot of people in that building you work at that are immovable on this issue. It just boggles me. And I'm thankful you're at least still trying and maybe still having those conversations that could someday lead to action.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more states adopt common sense gun safety laws. Just recently, Minnesota and Michigan both adopted red flag laws and background checks on all gun sales. Wisconsin's laws are pretty weak. We are around the middle of the pack in terms of gun safety laws. What we're going to be unveiling soon are three of the most important ones, we think, going into the summer. Now, Governor Evers' budget had a whole host of gun safety measures, and every measure that you take can help in a different way reduce deaths from guns in one way or another. The three most important that we're going to be talking about are background checks on all gun sales, extreme risk protection orders, or sometimes called red flag laws, and safe gun stores. There'll be a bill introducing a tax credit for the purchases of gun safes.
Again, things that have broad public support, and it only, again, underscores the effect of gerrymandering that you have something with so much public support not being taken up by the legislature here. And so, again, I alluded to those conversations because we all have them. I had them, you know, with Republican lawmakers during my time there. And, you know, and it works both ways where you say, well, yeah, it sounds like kind of a good idea, but I'm not sure it'll get past my leadership. Do you get that sense with at least some of the members, or is there a very large chunk of the caucus that is just turning a deaf ear to these concerns?
Pat, it's mind-boggling. The latest Marquette poll that came out just 2 weeks ago shows overwhelming support for these measures. 82% of gun-owning households said that they support extreme risk protection orders, the ability to take guns away from people who there is a preponderance of evidence and a judge issues an order that they should not have firearms because they pose a risk either to themselves in the case of suicide or others. The more than 80% of Wisconsinites believe every single gun sale or transfer should have a background check. Right now in Wisconsin, if you buy a firearm from a licensed firearms dealer, they will run a background check on you. However, you can buy a gun from a neighbor, from a friend, from somebody you meet online, and they are under no obligation to run a background check. And everyone I talk to thinks that is nuts. So we really need to get through to the Republican leadership, at the very least, these bills that are overwhelmingly popular with Wisconsin voters, they deserve a public hearing.
That's the other thing, is that at least you could have the conversation, but when you're suppressing the conversation, it leads to episodes like what happened on the assembly floor when, you know, they tried to pass a law enforcement resolution. But to get, it's not only law enforcement, and it's not only school students, but it's, for example, veterans who, you know, there is a suicide crisis there, and then just mental health and suicide concerns overall. Again, gun safety legislation isn't going to eliminate those, but you certainly eliminate one of the most, shall we say, convenient ways for our veterans and others to do something terrible.
Yeah, there is a bill that is making its way through the legislature right now. So I do want to give your listeners some good news. It's commonly referred to as the gun shop bill. That is coming out of the veteran community. And that is where gun shops are given training and funding for additional gun storage. And veterans or anyone else can bring their own firearms to a gun shop, no questions asked, for safe storage, so that you are putting space and time between the individual and their firearm. Because we know if someone is in a crisis or someone is suicidal, if they try to commit suicide with a firearm, it's lethal 80, 90% of the time. Any other means, you're talking about maybe 10 or 15%, giving an opportunity to reach that person, give them a second chance, and to get to provide them with treatment that we know works. So that is why this is so important, is that we need to make sure that people who are in crisis, the gun shop bill is a good first step. It allows an individual who has the wherewithal to get their gun out of the home, but we need to go further. We need to make sure that we have the ability and that we're empowering law enforcement to take guns away from people who we know are in danger to themselves or others, and who might not have the wherewithal to do that, or are intent on harming either a school or their neighbors or someone else.
So let's one more on gun safety, and then we're going to touch very briefly on budget issues here. But let's come back to the red flag laws, because again, presidential candidate Nikki Haley said this. Tim Michels said this while he was running for governor. This ridiculous notion that government shouldn't get a say on whether, you know, you can have your guns taken away. When what a red flag law does is, it's not the government taking your guns. It's a judge weighing the evidence, and unless they're advocating getting rid of judges and courts, it seems to me their position is silly and irresponsible.
Yeah, these laws are in place in at least 20 other states, and they have upheld challenges over and over again. There's a lot of misinformation that's being spread about extreme risk protection orders. First of all, yes, the way it works is that a law enforcement officer or a family member can petition a judge. They have to show evidence that someone is at risk of harming themselves in the case of suicide, or others in the case of school shootings or mass shootings. If the judge issues that order, then the guns are temporarily, and I want to emphasize temporarily, removed from the household until a hearing is held. That hearing must be held within 14 days. So if the petitioner decides, or the judge decides that there is no cause to have the guns taken away, they're immediately returned. However, if there is evidence that there is a danger, then they are stored for up to 1 year, and the order can be renewed. A lot of this due process protection is eliminated or not discussed a lot when people try to talk about these things. You also hear a lot about, oh, well, what if someone falsely swears, or if someone they're trying to get back at me and they just want to take my guns away? It's a felony, according to the legislation. There are strong protections. There are strong penalties for people who try to false swear to these things. And they are shown more and more that these empower law enforcement to take action before a tragedy strikes.
You know, actually, I'm going to take back what I said about, we'll talk about revenue sharing and Milwaukee, the city near you, and everything later. But in the less than a minute that I have left, I wanted to ask, for people that simply want to convey something to their legislator, especially if their legislator is a Republican, what one thing would you want them to convey, either by phone or email?
Give these bills a public hearing. They are overwhelmingly popular with Wisconsinites. We are at a point where gun deaths are higher at higher rates than they have ever been before. So give these bills a public hearing. Republicans can, they can vote them up, they can vote them down. But if we can't solve the gun violence crisis, if we can't discuss it. We're heading into the summer months. We need to have a gun safe summer. Wisconsinites have lived safely with guns for a very long time, but we are at the point where we need to seriously talk about how can we keep everybody safe. And we need to have a public hearing so we can start those discussions.
Deb, I'm so appreciative of what you're doing to keep bringing attention to this. Representative Deb Andraca, thank you so much for your time. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me, Pat.
All right. When we come back, we will continue this conversation with Green Bay Police Officer Craig Carlson and Dr. Kristen Lyerly here up north. Back now at 7:33 on this Thursday, it's time for Hometown Health, where we, as always, turn to our friend, Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And this week, she knew that we were talking to Representative Andraca and happened to know somebody who can also help us continue this conversation. And I'm going to preface it first by saying, yes, there are people that are extremely anti-gun. They're never going to own a gun. They don't like guns. Totally get that. There are also plenty of people who are responsible gun owners, and that's what this is about, is that, you know, we're not melting down all the guns, so let's talk about how we do this responsibly in society. And Kristen, as a physician, you're very well aware of the public health toll of guns in the United States, and so it seemed like a pretty easy thing for you to say, hey, this is a message we should continue in this week's Hometown Health segment.
Responsible gun ownership is a huge public health issue. And when I saw that Representative Andraca, who has been a hero here in Wisconsin in pushing on responsible gun ownership potential, like we've seen in Michigan and Minnesota, there is a role for the legislature here. But I think it's also really important to see what's happening on the ground, what's happening in people's real lives, and who better to talk to about responsible gun ownership than a police officer who himself is a hunter and a Wisconsinite. So I'm really excited. I mean, this is kind of personal for me, but I'm really excited to welcome my partner. He loves it when I call him partner, Officer Craig Carlson.
Well, that's because, you know, in the police business, partner is something entirely different, and I just don't see you on ride-alongs, but maybe, okay, see that one time. Officer Carlson, how are you?
I am great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, great. You are a brave soul. I appreciate it. But look, you are a community police officer. And so tell us a bit more about the specific duties of that job. What is your role from day to day, by and large?
Sure. We, you know, a lot of times we get questioned whether or not we are real police officers, and we are. You know, I did a lot of different shift work throughout my career, been there for 24 years. And over the last 10 years, I've been a community police officer, which means I have a smaller area, which is where Dr. Lyerly is right now. And we get to focus on all the problem areas, problem drug houses, whatever issues come up where we have that extra time, we can focus on that. And it allows us to be out in the community and making connections with people, with kids, and getting to know everybody.
And in your role, I should emphasize, you have served on the Marine unit, you've served on the SWAT unit. When there are calls, you go to those calls. So it's not like you're just, you know, Andy Griffith walking around and talking to people, but you do a lot of Andy Griffith-y kind of stuff, which really underpins that relationship and that public safety role of a police officer.
Absolutely. You know what? It's a good feeling when, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for 10 years, and to see kids that we've had in the neighborhood that I've played kickball with or basketball with, or, you know, they go ride their bikes with us when we're going through the area, to see them maturing into adults and having that connection, remembering the good context that we had, I think that's very important, and that helps relationships with the public.
I think so too. And we've had lots and lots of discussions about responsible gun ownership. You are a hunter, you're a police officer, you have opinions about this. How would you define responsible gun ownership?
You know, I would just agree with what Representative Draca was talking about. And, you know, being a hunter and, you know, I own many guns. Number one, making sure that it's safe. You know, I had an incident when I was a young cop. My daughters, thankfully, I had taught them, you know, we talked about guns, so they weren't afraid. But they had contact with a gun that was not locked up. And, you know, that really changed how I did things. Making sure that they were safe, that everybody around us was safe. So I think to piggyback on what she had said, there are many different things that we should do to keep guns out of the hands of people that should not have them. The most important thing, I believe, is the red flag laws. And I get very frustrated and angry when people say, oh, you're going to take everybody's guns. You know, there's a process set up that we're not taking guns without some legitimate reason. And it's, you know, we take them if there's an immediate need, but then leave it up to the courts to decide, hey, is there enough information here? Is this person dangerous enough that we don't want them to have a gun in their hands?
And again, as Representative Andraka said, there is a process here that is followed. And I should note as well that Officer Carlson makes clear when he visits with us that he is speaking in his own personal capacity, not for the entire police department, not for the entire city. But, you know, speaking for yourself, you've brought up the importance of red flag laws. And again, I think that most people heard what Representative Andraka had to say about background checks and the loopholes on private sales and gun shows. And we all know we've all sold a car, a used car to a neighbor or to somebody, and you've got to fill out the paperwork. And yet I think a lot of people are still surprised that is not what happens, that gun sales are treated very differently, and that's a real hazard to public safety.
Absolutely. You know, it's to think anybody can go to a gun show or go to your neighbor and get their hands on a gun. You know, I have neighbors. I don't know what their criminal background is, but I can guarantee you that if I'm going to sell them a gun, that I would do my due diligence, even though there's not a law set up for that. I 100% agree that should be a process for any type of gun exchange. You know, when I was young, I graduated from college, I got my first handgun. I was very proud of that. I had that for many years, and I decided to sell it. And I'm like, looking into it, I'm like, what do I need to do? Is there some paperwork I need to do? And it was, nope, just get your money and, you know, there you go. There's your gun. And, you know, I made him sign a piece of paper and just kind of take my own precautions just to cover myself in case something bad happened. You know, he was a good guy. I believe that he wouldn't have done anything, but to think that I could have sold that to somebody that's got, you know, a convicted felon, it's scary. There should be something set up where those guns go somewhere else, where that's, you know, to a broker or some gun shop that they can take the responsibility of doing the background checks and take that out of people's hands.
Knowing how easy it is for people to get guns like that, how does that change the way that you approach interactions? Call and you are thinking about the situation is and whether there is somebody there who's in danger. How do you approach that differently, or what goes through your mind?
You know, unfortunately, I live in a world where I have to think that something bad could happen at any time. So knowing, I guess, to be a good cop, you need to know or understand that they could have a weapon, whether it be a gun, a knife, or something. You know, I'm not going up to calls with my hand on my gun and ready to pull the trigger, but there's an awareness that, an extended awareness to know that something could happen. So if you assume everybody's got a gun, you kind of react to situations differently, handle things a little bit differently. You know, you try to make it as cool and calm as possible, but knowing that anybody could have a gun, it's a little unsettling.
Well, and that's where you get into this whole notion of politicians who say that the only fix for a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. And I'm sorry, but I know you're a very talented officer, but I'm pretty sure you don't come into a situation and can tell in the blink of an eye which one is the good guy with the gun and which one is the bad guy with the gun. And that puts you in a very, not just awkward, dangerous position.
Well, even though if somebody has a good guy has a gun, you know, is that person even trained to handle that gun properly? Or is that more of a liability? If you pull out your gun, is that giving somebody an opportunity to take that gun from you? Now the bad guy's got two guns and you have nothing, you know, rather than walk away from a situation or you just don't become involved. So I believe that maybe there's too many guns out there. Maybe there's something we need to do. I would rather have encounters with people and not have to worry about that. But, you know, this is our life right now.
So I hear you saying that armed civilians aren't necessarily the answer to our gun violence crisis.
I don't believe, you know, I'm not going to say that people can or cannot have guns, but if you're going to have one, let's have some type of training out there. You know, there's a lot of carry concealed weapon classes out there available. They're not expensive. My sister actually just went through it. She was fearful of guns. My brother-in-law had guns, and, you know, for a while there, that was kind of an issue for them, but she agreed to take the class, and I think she really enjoyed it. She can handle it safely. She's not going to carry it all around, but I think knowing in the back of her head that if the situation, something happens, that maybe she could deal with it properly.
Well, the whole notion of dealing with this properly is underscored by some of the data that you see from the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence. They note that, you know, if you have access to a gun in the home, it increases the risk of death by suicide by 300%. Let's just start with that one for a moment, because I don't know the exact calls you've been on, but I would imagine you and your colleagues have had to be on the scene where somebody has taken their own life, and that it was, again, I used this word last time a little too loosely, but convenient. It's there, and it's something that, you know, if that gun had been locked up or otherwise better cared for, not only would that person not have harmed themselves, but frankly put you and others in that kind of a traumatic situation as well.
Yeah, it happens, unfortunately, more often than we would like to see it happen. And again, I think with the red flag laws, you know, maybe there's something in that person's history, family member, you know, sometimes they say, you know, we've tried, we've reached out, there's nothing we can do. Maybe that, you know, how about lawmakers listen to the people and put something in place that could keep those guns away from those people.
And Craig, before I ask you about this part, I'm going to bounce it off of Kristen first. The stat that every 16 hours in this country, a woman is shot dead by her current or former partner. Kristen, as an OBGYN, you have talked to far too many women who either tell you they're in abusive relationships or they don't tell you, but you can just tell. And that has to be just heartbreaking to you. So I want your reaction, and you can ask Craig about his reaction to that.
We've got the data that shows that this is true. We know that households with guns are much more likely to experience death by suicide, death by homicide, and pregnancy, for whatever reason, tends to be a catalyst in the situation. So as physicians, especially as pediatricians, we are taught to talk to our patients about responsible gun ownership. So this is not just a public health issue. This is a personal health issue for us as physicians and for our patients.
And Craig, what about you on the topic of domestic violence?
You know, that unfortunately, that's one of the worst calls we can go on, or most dangerous calls that we can go on, not only for us, but for the potential spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever that may be. Mm-hmm. You know, there are laws, in fact, that if you get convicted of these certain crimes, that you no longer have the right to carry those arms, and hunting is out. So I'm a firm believer that's very important to keep those guns out of abusers' hands.
One more question, and it comes from Bill from Oconomowoc, who called in, and I'm going to take it here just because we're running short on time. But Bill's a gun owner and a hunter, and notes that you need 2 weeks of training to shoot a deer, but basically none to get a concealed carry license and shoot a person. He asks if we should advocate for concealed carry to require 40 hours of training or a year to maintain or something like that, because if I'm not mistaken, in this state and others, that amount of training was taken down to zero or near zero. Officer Carlson, what do you think should be the proper amount of training?
You know, I don't know if I could put a number on that.
Well, let me ask it another way. Should it not be zero?
It should not be zero. Okay. I think it's important to get that. You know, even retired police officers have to come in every year and qualify if they want to carry guns off duty. and you tell me that somebody with a CCW gets very little training, can just walk around at any point, it's important. If you don't use the skills, you're going to lose those skills.
Kristen, to wrap things, I'm sorry, Kristen. Yeah. I've got the clock here in front of me. Kristen's on location downtown here. So in the few seconds I've got left, you noted everytown.org as the website that people should look to for more info.
So many great websites, but Every Town has lots of resources, data, and information for you to have conversations and really advocate within your community.
All right. Kristen, Officer Craig Carlson from the Green Bay Police Department, a great conversation. I really hope that people take it to heart. Craig, thanks so much for you put up with a lot of joshing around for something, for some very serious work that you do, and we appreciate it. Have a great morning over there.
Great. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Kristen's going to hang around as we wrap up our conversation for this Thursday, and maybe even Luke Mathers, a possible Luke Mathers sighting. Stay tuned for that. You're up north. What's he gonna do? Bonnie Tyler turning 70 years old today.
That's not really why you played that song, though. You played it because Luke is dead.
We are always holding out for a hero, and there are a couple of big kahunas at Civic Media. You know, there's Crudy and there's Sage. So we can't call Luke a big kahuna, but when I saw that he's now an executive producer, we decided that the alternative title is Kahuna in Waiting. Yeah, because if we call him Little Kahuna, it sounds not quite right. So, Kristen, is that you? Is Craig on his way to a call over there? What's going on?
Yeah, we've got lights and sirens.
Okay. Well, if they yell, is there a doctor in the house? You run away if you have to. We've got Luke. We've got Luke here with for folks watching on the video feed, a Milwaukee Bucks cap that, you know, is basically an aircraft carrier. You could land a Harrier jet on the brim of that thing, but
I have I have a large head. It's not my fault that's just the brim that comes with the large hat. Okay.
It's just so stylish that way. Luke, this is a nice surprise for us to have you here because we, as you know, we shuffled the lineups, we added shows, we added an 8 o'clock newscast. You've become the Walter Cronkite of the 8 o'clock segment here.
That's pretty high praise.
Here you are to say, I'm going to guess you're going to second what Aaron and I have said, that it's been a little crazy. It's been a little topsy-turvy, but all in the right direction.
Yeah, we're having a lot of fun. It is, it's pretty great. Like, great as in massive, like large scale great of what we're trying to do here at Civic Media. And there are a lot of different moving parts. We're having a lot of work done this week around the state to integrate all of the different stations we've been bringing into the network. So we are very grateful for our listeners joining us. Maybe for the first time they're hearing Civic Media programming. We're thrilled to be expanding around the state and reshuffling the lineup a little bit as well at the same time. So it's been a hectic week, but we're very excited, Pat, like you said, about the direction we are heading.
So tell me, at least now we've talked about the newscasts, especially at 8 o'clock and 5 o'clock, you get a good comprehensive newscast, but even more so at noon. And then you're much more of a part of the noon hour. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So Civic Media's Terry Bell, our news director, is going to be anchoring, or is anchoring, not going to be, he does it every day now, at noon, a statewide network newscast. And so we've got a number of voices. We were integrating local reporters around the entire state, but hosted by Terry Bell for the kicking off of the noon hour. And then at 12:15, William Walter is hosting, and I'm helping him out and co-hosting the show now that is called Town Call. And we're working to be able to have more voices from around the state of Wisconsin through callers be able to call in and share their opinion on a given topic each day. So we've had some excellent discussions already, talking about public schools yesterday, public libraries the day before. It's been a tremendous noon hour, and we're really excited to be offering this product statewide.
And I know I've mentioned it before, Kristen, but the shuffling around of shows, the addition of new shows meant that As Goes Wisconsin moves from 10 to noon on most stations, 11 to noon in Madison, and that therefore your segment with Kristen Bry, public service announcement,
had, love it every time you say it.
Had to move as well. It's so damn clever. I hate that all the cleverness is going for one funny woman in her show. I want to be that funny and clever. But you're over there helping her out. And so what time is that? Is that happening today again?
Mm-hmm. Today at 11. And I'd just like to add that title came from a listener. That was a listener suggestion. So your listeners are, they're pretty clever.
Those
themselves.
Are Kristen's listeners. If I asked my listeners for advice, my name would be Bodie McBoatface or something like that. So
that's an invitation.
Because I've got the sarcastic bunch. I love them, but we are subversive and sarcastic, and we have to use our powers for good, not evil.
To be fair, I would be the one, I think, trying to put in as many entries for Bodie McBoatface or Showy McShowface or whatever it would be.
Oh, Lordy, would you? Oh, my goodness. But it's nice that you're still doing the newscast from the old studio right there on University Avenue, right?
Correct. So one of the unfortunate little delays is we haven't been able to get to the new facilities on State Street for recording, but we are having still fun here on University Avenue. And so, yes, we're doing the newscasts and all of the live local programming that's coming out of our Madison studio is still coming out of the University Avenue studios.
Okay, so that will be coming, and Aaron and I talked about this at the start of the show, that it's better to get it right than to get it rushed, because, if we couldn't connect with people like Kristen, then, who wants to listen to me prattle on for 2 hours, right?
The excellent engineering team is already juggling enough this week. We figured that making sure, like you said, getting it right when it comes to moving the university facilities to State Street, yeah, we're going to delay that one just a little bit. So our engineers can continue to focus on all the hard work that they're doing, integrating the stations around the state into the Civic Media Network.
Aaron, do you feel like we've got a grip on the tech stuff, or do we do too much to let somebody like you change your title to Bodie McBoatface here on the live video feed as you just did?
Well, I thought I would make an executive decision there and just change my own name. Like, we can put it up to a vote and let there be a chance, but I feel like if I want a goofy title, I'll just give myself a goofy title.
There you go. Okay, you have the power to do that. Kristen, you are not far from where the state Democratic convention is going to be held this weekend. And I know that as a former candidate, you've probably attended one or two of those in the past. Are you stopping by since it's in your hometown this time around?
I will definitely be there, but this will be my first one because I really didn't start getting active in Wisconsin politics until COVID.
Oh, that's right. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. The convention last year for Democrats was in La Crosse, and I stopped down there and did several interviews for the radio show with what were then candidates for the 3rd Congressional District. And it was their first full-on in-person convention post-COVID. And what a homecoming feel it had. I mean, there was just so many people thrilled to see one another. And I'm sure that will be the case for Democrats this weekend in Green Bay and Republicans next weekend as well. Luke, is there a civic media presence? I know Crudy's been to those in the past doing interviews. Any idea what's happening?
I believe both state conventions in the upcoming weeks, we've put in our credentials, and there are plans for the civic media team to be there to cover both.
Okay, very good. And then oftentimes, this is where we look ahead to the weekend, and Aaron sometimes gives us a sneak preview of the Cripes cast if he's had a chance to hear it. Do we know what is coming up this weekend there from Charlie Behrens?
Yeah, this weekend, Damian Buckman, who is somebody who was diagnosed with a rare bone cancer at age 13. He has had something like 28 knee surgeries since then, but now he's working with the Ability Center in Milwaukee, and It's an episode all about how people are not used to following their dreams, mostly because they're stomped down by someone else who lost theirs, and not to give up.
Well, that doesn't sound like my life. I mean, geez, listen to me putting myself on a pedestal. You thought I was going to do one of you guys, but no, I'm just going to take it all.
Prattling on.
That's right, prattling on. Thank you guys all so much. Kristen, have a great day. Maybe see you at the convention. Luke, we'll hear you on the news coming up in a bit.
Sounds great. Talk to you later, Pat.
All right. So many shows coming up next year on your Civic Media stations. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on Friday.